Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
It would really be cool if you could just watch some of the off-air comments, grunts, and groans going into a podcast. So here's Jonathan over here. Oh, boy. Here it is. Oh, good. And here's Rainer over here. Oh, Yeah, it's because we're going to talk about the internet church. Boy, a subject of controversy, sometimes division, and certainly not unanimity of opinion. But it's there, and we need to be talking about it. So times are changing. I mean, it hasn't been that long ago that an organization like Vanderblumen even existed to help churches find pastors. And now they are doing an incredible job helping churches find pastors, staff persons, and others. So times are changing. We're going to talk about the internet church. But first of all, we want to thank Vanderblumen.
Yeah, Vanderblumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vanderblumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
That's really a great, you know, every time I hear that, I just think that's a great URL. Mm-hmm. WeStaffTheChurch.com. What a go, William. Or maybe Holly picked that one up. Because did they have that from the beginning
since we were here? That's the one we've been using forever.
Okay.
Because it was so much easier than telling people how to spell his last name.
Well, but he will tell you if you just start typing it Vander, in. It's going to show up. Because there aren't too many Vanderblum onion type things out there. So
yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jonathan, you want to just skip this particular podcast?
So thanks for joining us today here on
Just look at the outline and draw your own conclusions and write your own comments.
So understanding the internet church as an entry point to physical gathering. All right, so first of all, I think we need to define internet church.
Yeah. Well, the internet church are those who are participating or listening to a service in a digital format only.
Okay.
So they're listening on their phone, on their Mac, on their laptop. They're digital format only. They're not physically present.
Because there's been a couple of things that came out late 2018. There was an app that came out about church at home, being able to just basically have a church at your house. You know, never go to church. And then there was a funny, I don't know if you saw this or not. Did you see the video, the John Chris video on virtual church?
Yeah, where he puts his helmet on and he goes to church.
And then
he gets a notice of the ball game's on. He has to take it off real quickly.
Yes. But that the great thing about that is a lot of people were like, I can't believe this is a real thing. Well, it wasn't. But it was so believable. John did such a good job with that. It was so believable that that people were like all up in arms about it.
You know him? Pretty,
not really. We've met a few times, but
okay.
I'm a fan though.
He's an actor,
kind of a comedian. Yeah.
Okay.
So good dude.
I've also been watching this Southern type of thing where they have Southern traditions, and the one I remember was the lady who woke up going to Chick-fil-A on Discover Sunday.
Yeah,
that's not church related.
I saw a countdown of top YouTube videos, and that was in it. For the year, somebody really liked that one. So
they went to another fast food and got their chicken nuggets, and it was such a...
It wasn't the same.
Okay, I think we're putting off the discussion of this enough.
All right, but we do need to realize, and this is point number one here, that some people really cannot attend church.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Homebound, physical, hospital.
People may be on vacation and can't get back to...
Military.
Or whatever.
You might be in some type of overseas community where you cannot come. So there are some people who really cannot attend. So let's just don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and say we should never have some type of digital presence whatsoever.
Yeah. And I, for one, am a fan and a proponent of Facebook Live or other streaming for churches.
Yeah.
For the at least the sermon portion. Sometimes whenever you get to the music and stuff, it gets a little tricky with
because of the mixing,
the rights. Well, and the sound mix can usually sound terrible.
Yes,
if you
don't
do it right. But it's a lot easier to get just one microphone of somebody speaking than it is a whole band or orchestra, whatever you may have, and make it sound good. But I am a proponent of that.
Yeah,
so I'm all for streaming services.
Okay. But you're not necessarily saying that's your alternative to being physically gathered.
No, I'm not going to sit at the house and watch it online.
And again, I think if anybody were to get you or me into a discussion about what really matters, we would really think that physical gathering is the ideal. That no, it's really what you should do, not just the ideal. When you talk about the gathering of the saints, I know that you can gather digitally, like in a Facebook, but it's physical gathering.
Yeah, and that's the second point. It's clearly you have to clearly indicate if you're going to do this, you've got to clearly indicate the importance of the physical gathering, as opposed to the internet church.
So if I'm a pastor and I know my sermon is being streamed, okay? Mm-hmm. So whether it's live streaming or whether, you know, some of them choose to...
Yeah, some of them tape it and show it later. Yeah.
Do a few edits because they know some things can actually happen. In fact, I preached a sermon in December at my church and I wish I had not said one portion of that. And I'm sure Jess went on and put the whole thing live,
everybody listen to this. The thousands at home are listening to this.
Oh yeah,
they're wondering, what did Rainer say?
If you're doing this, I think you need to address, if you have an intentionality that you have a digital presence, I think it's good for you to address the people who are there and say, we would love to have you come join us. If you're listening, we believe that the gathered church is the place to be. You can come up with your own verbiage. Yeah.
Well, I've seen Brainerd Baptist Chattanooga. Yeah.
Micah Freeze.
He puts a sermon bumper on the front end that says basically this.
And here's a television.
Hey, yeah, I mean it's video, and they have a recorded bumper that they put on the front end of the sermon video, and that says basically, hey, thanks for watching. We really appreciate this. Please know that the internet, you know, that streaming this should not be your church. You need to be involved in a local church.
That's good. So it gives them an opportunity to pull people in. It's fantastic. Okay. I need to go watch that.
Yeah.
I'm always intimidated when
I'll
watch Mike.
I'll put a link
when I watch Mike.
Because he's tall?
Yeah. I just, and me compared to him, he's tall and skinny and I'm neither.
Yeah.
And it's.
He's got that deep booming voice as well.
Yeah. Thank you. He has everything I'm not. Wow. Okay. Let's.
Shrug my shoulders. I'm sorry. But yeah, I'll put a link to that, to his things, because I noticed that back in 2018. I'd watched one of his sermons. I was like, I love that. So yep. I just thought it was fantastic the way he does it.
Let it go, Micah. And good, it's freeze and not fries.
Yes, even though it looks like fries, mm-hmm. but it's freeze. All right, number three, provide discipleship resources for those watching at home.
Great opportunity to just put PDFs out there.
Yeah.
Even if it's just an outline of the sermon with some mm-hmm. notes, put some type of PDF out there so that people can be involved in some way.
Yeah.
And guess what you can put on the PDF? Come visit us at church.
Yeah.
So that goes back to number two.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very simple. And by the way, we'll be talking more about this issue of discipleship resources in the months to come.
Yes.
So stay tuned on that.
All right. Number four, point to groups in the community.
Groups are important. How many times we got to say groups are important? We say it again and again and again. What do you call your group? Community group? Life group, Sunday school class. What are some other names that are out there? We've talked about them.
Home groups.
So, used to call them cell groups. You don't hear that much anymore.
Just in the prison programs.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
So you got
old joke. Terrible joke.
So you got the groups. It's not the name that is important. It's the fact that people are gathering in smaller numbers. And when you... Look, here's one. This is not an example of an internet church, but it's an example of using the internet to draw people to groups. I have had a Facebook ad for probably a year now.
That's been going a while, hasn't it? I forgot about it.
And all I'm doing is talking about my group. I talk about the church, but I talk about my group. I pay out of my own pocket for this. And I'm trying to reach the digital world to come to our group. And we started off with 6, and now we've got 21.
Whoa.
In our group now.
Wow.
And those aren't, of that 21, most of their typical attendance is 16 now. So we can tell you how faithful attendance. How did you find out about us? Oh, that ad
on Facebook.
Yes, that ad on Facebook. Some people say, I wish I'd stop seeing this ad. I keep seeing it again and again. But hey, it's bringing people in and some really committed people. So point to groups when you are preaching. My pastor, Jess, is really good about this. He'll talk about groups quite often. But what you want to do is certainly get the people to come to a worship service, but if you can get them in a group, even more so.
Mm-hmm.
So use your digital community. Say, hey, if you like the fellowship here in this digital space, you would really love coming with seven or eight other people and get them into groups. So this is a great opportunity. We believe in groups and we believe how important they are. This is a great opportunity to point people to the groups.
All right. Number five, you got to be bold about seeking financial stewardship participation.
I can just hear the groans. Oh. The moans.
Send those cards and letters to Tom at Church Answers.
It's the money. It's all about, all they ever want is the money. There's reasons that people feel that way. It's because in the 80s, somewhat in the 70s, and even into the 90s, there were televangelists and others who would say, if you send money, I'll send you this prayer cloth. I'll send you this whatever.
Yeah.
Or a book. You will be blessed. And a minimum donation of a minimum donation or something. There's reasons that people are so cringe noticing when they hear about money. It's because, again, it's been overdone. It's been abused by many people in the world of television, radio, and now even in the internet world. Don't let that stop you, though, from asking for financial participation. It does not have to be a hard push. It could be, hey, we would love to, we appreciate so much of those of y'all being a part of this. If you would like to support the ministry of this church so that we can continue to do these types of things, here's a place where you can send your donation. We'd be greatly appreciate it. There's several things happening there. One, money will come in, it will. But that is not the end. That is just a means. What is happening is when people give, they become greater connections to the church, and the more likelihood they are to come to the church. So giving is a form of participation. It is a form of stewardship, and it may be one of the few ways that you can actually connect with them on the front end. So it's pretty easy these days, isn't it, Jonathan, to have some type of means of payment.
Yeah.
Almost, even if it's just as simple as what am I thinking about? My mind's always going
like blown. Online giving. I mean, just PayPal.
That's what I was thinking. Just simple as PayPal. There's many ways to mm-hmm. do that. It's not costly either. Yeah.
And this is another example of something you can put maybe on the back end of a sermon clip or something like that.
There you go.
Like we were talking about, and if you don't have the facilities to be able to do, you know, good quality video or these type of things, our friends at Pronounce can do these for you as well. And you can just announce, you can, you know, edit them into your stuff.
Pronounce does a great job of all kind of announcements. And
yeah.
Again, when I look at a company like Pronounce, they're the type of company that is kind of a future trend.
Mm-hmm.
And people that jump on that are really seeing some good things happen when it used to be, we talk about Vander Blumen and people never thought about having a search group to help search committee or whomever, our elders. And now more and more people are saying, you know, it really would be good if we had someone who knows what they're doing in these announcements to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a good example of someone doing that.
And they can give you that quick bumper video.
Yeah.
That you could put on the front end talking about how, you know, we appreciate you watching. We'd love to have you plug into the physical campus or whatever it may be. And then on the back end, they can do that giving information as well for you.
Just still reminds me of the story. I know I've told it on this podcast before of the pastor. Just so happened that the person who was consistently giving the bumpers was an attractive lady.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You remember that? And because they had multiple services, some of the young single guys did not know that this was someone that was recording it in another city. And they thought, where is she?
Yeah. Where's that girl in that video?
That's
pretty funny.
I'd like to introduce myself to her. But that is not why you do those videos. But something like that can really be helpful to draw people into your church.
All right, number six, you need to have a vibrant prayer ministry.
Important, important, important. Make certain that if you have something that is out there, that you have a means where people can submit prayer concerns, prayer requests, prayer needs. If you are not praying for your digital audience, shame on you. That needs to be a high priority. Don't put podcasts out there. Don't put streaming services out there. Don't put recorded services out there unless you have a means for people to submit prayer needs, prayer requests. One of the ministries that you should always have in your church, if you have a digital presence, is some kind of prayer ministry. Yeah. So,
and our church just launched an online prayer wall.
Really?
Yeah. So you can go to my church website, like fhbc.org/prayer, and they've got a little video telling you about it, and Jamie Cobb right there. And
I can't see anything.
You can't see it.
I can't see the light.
And then you can just click on, you can, you know, send like a prayer link, whatever.
Is she like a prayer director or
something? I'm not sure. I just know her. Okay. She works for, does some stuff with Beth. But anyway, so you can just click on that, and you can see the prayer wall and everything. So, and, you know, neat little thing that doesn't take a whole lot that churches can do.
I like it. So if you have a digital presence, make sure you have a prayer presence.
Yeah.
A means by which people can seek prayer help.
Yeah. And it looks like there's some people out there. A prayer engine is what powers ours.
So
there's some companies out there that'll do that for you.
I've never heard of prayer engine.
Make it easy.
Wow.
So we have to check into them, see what's going on with that. So kind of neat. All right. Number 7, the necessity of a champion for the internet church.
Nothing works well of any major impact unless it has someone that's a leader of it. Sometimes we call them the champion. So if you truly are going to have some type of internet church presence, if you're truly going to be in the digital world, you need a staff or volunteer who is in charge of it. If someone's not in charge of it, guess what? It falls back on the pastor or somebody. It's assumed that someone has responsibility for it. You need someone. I mean, there are some churches that now have internet church pastors. I mean, they really, we need to go video and just, we need to have a whole video clips of Jonathan and his eyes rolling as I say something. I'm not saying that as an advocacy.
Okay.
I'm saying that as an observation.
Just somebody who's leading the charge.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, I'm cool with that.
So that's all it is. It's not someone that is replacing the regular pastoral staff or anything like that. You do need a champion. What is that champion doing? That champion is making sure prayer requests are answered, mm-hmm. making sure that there's a quality that goes along with it, making certain that there is follow-up. You know, what should you do when someone gives? You should thank them for giving. You could
thank you for giving to the Lord.
Yeah. Yes. So you need someone.
I don't think you've ever told that story here on the podcast, but maybe one day.
Yeah. There's just so many different angles to that.
That's hilarious.
But Detroit, back in the days.
Yep.
Pontiac Silverdome.
Yep. So, all right. And then finally, be creative in your internet worship services.
We have a lot of opportunities to do things.
Video. With video, you can pretty much, the imagination is just there for you.
And again, we talked about it earlier. I didn't know about this prayer engine, but what's the name of them?
Prayer engine.
Prayer engine. And we also talked about pronouns and how you can get creative with the announcements. Pronouns does announcements in live worship services as mm-hmm. well, but
yeah.
it can be a mechanism to make things more creative. There's just so much you can add digitally that unleashes your creativity. And so there's a lot of possibilities. So as we wrap this up on the internet church, the question is the internet church a church? Well, that's not our purpose behind it. We are advocates of a physically gathered church, if at all possible. But we recognize the digital reality. We recognize that there's a digital world out there, and there are some people who cannot attend, or there are some people for whom a digital presence may be an entry point. So we're living in a digital world. We are living in a world that is who people are, where they are, and what they know. So for those of you who are in church life, don't just throw something out there, a podcast, a live streaming service, or a recorded service. Don't just throw something out there without some type of prayerful strategy behind it. Know what you're doing, know why you're doing it, and be intentional about what you're doing. And you can really see some things begin to happen that I think will point people to the gathered church, and it can be very, very powerful and important for doing so.
All right.
So
I found more information about Prayer Engine.
Yeah. What'd you find out?
It's created by a guy up in Long Hollow, Eric Merle.
I don't know Eric.
No. We're going to have to get in touch with Eric.
All right. But
kind of neat. I didn't know about this. So he's a comms director at Long Hollow up there with Robbie Gallaty.
Well, good for him.
Here in town.
Mr. Discipleship.
Amazing. That's kind of cool.
as we are recording this in Franklin, just looking from the south side of Nashville to the north side of Nashville in Hendersonville, Tennessee. Very cool.
I'll have to get in touch with him. All right.
Thank you, Midwestern Seminary.
Yeah, Midwestern is a great opportunity for you to learn and get your training. And their 81-hour MDiv is the perfect foundation for full-time ministry leaders, giving you everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City and train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. You can start your training today at mbts.edu/mdiv.
This is not the last that you will hear of the Internet Church. You'll hear about it in a lot of other settings, and it'll have a different connotations. We're going to continue to follow this whole idea of a digital gathering, and we'll continue to report to you, and we'll see what God is going to do with this new venue that is not a replacement for the physical venue, but may have some very good opportunities as churches move forward.
All right. Thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership, a member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app, and join us online at TomRainer.com, where we're growing healthy churches together. Thanks again for listening to Rainer on Leadership. I want to tell you about an event this March in Orange County, California. Lifeway Leadership is hosting a much-needed church leadership event that's all about leading change. If you know you need to lead change but aren't sure where to start, this event is for you. Different than other leadership conferences, you'll spend most of your time in a group of less than 50 other leaders discovering how to implement change in your church. And to make sure that every church leader leaves with a personalized plan for change, Lifeway Leadership is capping this event at just 300 attendees. So if you know you need to lead change but aren't sure where to start, then make sure you register for Blueprint Coaching in Orange County, California on March 14th and 15th. Just go to lifeway.leadership.com/events to learn more.